the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Welcome to Bach Sunday, wherein twice or so a term we offer a word and music duet, sermon and cantata together. Research and experiment are central to the work and to the strategic plan of Boston University, and find their echo and reflection here at Marsh Chapel, particularly in this unique novel order in worship. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth, in word and in song, in instrument and in chorus. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As able, please stand in the praise of God.
Thank you.
May we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in saying verses from the Canticle of Zechariah with the antiphon. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestors Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let us stand as we are able for the singing of the Gloria Patri and the reading of the Gospel.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke chapter 23 verses 33 to 43. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
In September of this year, we opened our Bach Experience series with Cantata 147. And along with Cantata 10, and of course, Bach's Majestic Magnificat, the first chapter of Luke has provided centuries of musical creativity and inspiration. The parables of Jesus, as recounted in the Gospels, are the departure point for many of Bach's cantatas, but Luke's voice is prominent in the liturgical schedule of readings for Bach and the successive Sundays after Trinity. Of the cantatas Bach wrote in the summer of 1723, for those 26 Sundays after Trinity, nearly two-thirds are based on lessons from Luke. Sermon on the Mount, Zechariah's Benedictus, the parables of the unjust steward, the Good Samaritan, Pharisee and the Republican, or publican, sorry, prophecies of the Great Tribulation, and Jesus' raising from the dead of the young man from Nain. Once more, this morning, we interweave the power of Scripture with the glory of music, the word spoken with the word sung. Bach and Luke meet today in Cantata 70, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet, or Watch, Pray, Pray, Watch. Jesus foretells the second coming to his disciples in the events leading up to Holy Week in the Luke Gospel and in Matthew as well. Before Bach, help us regard St. Luke. His voice has guided our Sunday by Sunday. On this final Sunday of the liturgical calendar, Dean Hill, would you please help us look forward by looking back to a year wherein we have heard the voice of St. Luke Sunday by Sunday?
Yes, Dr. Jarrett, we have indeed spent the year with St. Luke and conclude our conversation with him this morning. There are some outstanding features of his theology which we may simply name as we set sail now for other shores. On this Sunday, which honors the reign of Christ especially, this is most fitting. First, Luke displays a commitment to and an interest in history, and orderly history at that. Both Luke and Acts are cast in a distinctive historical mode. In fact, Luke has his own schemata for sacred history in three parts: Israel, Jesus, Church. The time of Israel, concluding with John the Baptist. The time of Jesus, concluding with the Ascension. The time of the Church, concluding with the Parousia, the coming of the Lord on the clouds of heaven at the end of time. Second, Luke employs and deploys his own theological perspective, including this emphasis upon history and the divine purpose in history. Third, Luke highlights the humanity and compassion of Jesus in a remarkable way. The Christ of St. Luke is the Christ of magnificent compassion, embodied in the humility of a birth among shepherds. The poor, women, the stranger, the injured, those in dire need, all stand out in Luke as the recipients and subjects of Jesus' love, mercy, grace, and compassion. And fourth, Luke carries an abiding interest in the church. History, theology, compassion, and church are hallmarks of the Lucan biblical theology and signs of the reign of Christ, and emphasize the promise of what God has done in the indicative mood over what we can do in the imperative mood.
Indicative, imperative, pluperfect, subjunctive, declension, conjugation. I can almost smell a pencil sharpener nearby. Maybe we'd even smell a mimeograph machine if we get going. Back to our Grammarly moods of indicative and imperative. In the 11 movements of today's cantata, I count 23 imperative verbs. Rejoice greatly, celebrate with the angels, triumph eternally, lift up your heads, be of good cheer, tremble, O sinner, sound the last trumpet, flourish in Eden, serve God eternally, lead me to the gates of heaven, lead me to promised rest, lead me to everlasting joy. Even the title of Cantata 70 is entirely made up of imperative verbs. Vacet, betet, betet, vacet. Watch, pray, pray, watch. Bach and his librettist are creating a musical sermon, the theology of which is likely downstream of the great Lutheran preachers and teachers, all of whom are downstream of Luther himself, continuing all the way to the Ursprung, the source, the evangelist record of the life and teaching of Christ. Is this river cruise similar to a pure science that's flowing downstream to its related applied disciplines? Philosophical or practical, ideal or pragmatic, visionary or realistic?
Just so, Dr. Jarrett, just so. That is, indicative precedes imperative. Indicative precedes imperative in history and in theology and in compassion and in church. The gospel is about what God has done first, not about what we might do, a distant second, if that. J.S. Bach, a good Lutheran, would heartily agree. What God has done outlasts, outshines, overshadows, outranks, outdoes whatever we might do or not. That is what makes the gospel good news rather than just news. What God has done. And let us hold most closely the divine compassion in Luke. At every turn, there is a return to the least, the last, the lost, those at the dawn of life, those at the twilight of life, those in the shadows of life. Further, Dr. Jarrett, over 16 years, we have endeavored to render the good news in a bilingual manner on these Bach Sundays. Scripture and cantata together, juntos, conjoined. For those of us today, especially who are listening from afar, who hear but do not see, what are two of the themes of this particular cantata to which we should caringly attend in the dialogue of the soulful song and sacred page? That is, first, what in the music should we most listen for?
Today's images are the most exciting and the most dramatic. And Bach manages to cover all of the ways in which one can be excited and dramatic. The Second Coming, in many ways, represents the ultimate test of faith. If we agree and acknowledge that faith is that fuzzy intersection of doubt and certainty, here the believer, also a sinner, is at once terrified of the day of judgment and then finds a deep breath and enough confidence to sustain their faith a little longer. Repeatedly at the micro and macro level in the cantata, Bach meets us in this crisis of faith. He neutralizes our fears through Christ's abiding love and gives the needed strength and confidence to match Christ's loving embrace for eternal pardon and peace. The arias also take this tripartite journey individually and then cumulatively. Two extraordinary moments from the baritone bring us just to the brink, to the edge, a terrifying foretaste of the final destruction of heaven and earth. But the second instance might just model how each of us could meet that moment when it comes.
And then, second, what in the words sung is most telling for us this morning, listening to Bach?
Well, you will hear the letzte Posaune, or the last trumpet. And this is the instrument that is the harbinger of the Great Tribulation. The signal of the last day, the day of judgment, is the trumpet. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Bach features the trumpet throughout the cantata, in chorale tunes, and in the triumphant arpeggio that becomes the motto heard in the first measure of the piece. Our trumpeter today is Jeff Shamu, and Jeff's here. Jeff, would you mind showing us? Just listen for this motto. It happens all over the first movement. Jeff? We go off to the races, right on. So, Dean Hill, in conclusion this morning, how should we think about what we have heard, and what shall we hear?
Well, it may be, Dr. Jarrett, that our living of these days and our life in Christ this day carry both a dimension of practice and promise. In practice, our envisioned mission of Mars Chapel is to be a heart in the heart of the city and a service in the service of the city. Our use of President Merlin's epigram means city as the global city and service as worship and work. Our foci guiding this envisioned mission are voice and vocation and volume. And one aspect of this today is the work of sermon and cantata. Twice a term, you engage our collegium, choir, community, and listenership in a full morning of teaching about J.S. Bach and enjoyment of a Bach cantata in worship. This Bach experience, lecture, gathering, brunch, worship, and sermon, are novel and experimental advancements in learning and performance, a part of our shared practice of faith.
The practice, and what about the promise?
In promise, we turn to Holy Scripture. Our conclusion in the reading of St. Luke comes today with Jesus upon the cross. Every benediction in ending for a service of worship, including this morning, carries a sense of an ending at hand. Our own mortality, our own full physical limitation, our own death at some unforeseen point is both shadowed and overshadowed just here in Luke 23, just now on Calvary. Perhaps more than anything else, our own mortality, our limited humanity, dust art thou and to dust thou shalt return, calls us to faith and awakens us to faith. Our Christ and his final consort address us with a promise that in life and in death and in life beyond death, God is with us, we are not alone, thanks be to God. Jesus even promises paradise in that hour, in that liminal moment. The reign of Christ somehow, says our gospel, and somehow sings our cantata, continues and conquers, though how and how so, who can say? It may be that the single purpose of Sunday worship every seventh day, every Lord's day, is a clinging to the ringing of this dominical promise, our own everlasting hope. The Lucan Jesus has the last word and offers that word as a lasting promise, a last word in lasting promise. Today you will be with me in paradise.
We are given and receive in faith the divine promise. He keeps them in his hands and places them in a heavenly Eden. May it be so.
We are given and receive in faith the divine promise. You shall flourish in Eden, serving God eternally.
May it be so.
Thank you. Thank you. for the world nor for heaven does my soul long and yearn. I desire Jesus and his light, who has with God forgiven me, who frees me from judgment. I will not abandon my Jesus. Please join me in thanking the Marsh Chapel Choir and Collegium under the direction of Dr. Scott Allen Jarrett for their musical offering this morning. Let us with gladness bring before the Lord the first of the fruit of the everything that God has given us. Merciful God, everything in heaven and earth belongs to you. We joyfully release what you have entrusted to us. May these gifts be signs of our whole lives returned to you, dedicated to the healing and unity of all creation. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
May the sun show warm and bright on you, your darkest night a star shine through, your dullest morn a radiance brew, and when dusk comes, God's hand to you. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be and abide with each one of us now and forever. Amen.